Today, we're speaking to Promit Ray. He is head of data science at Clade.io. They operate in the bioscience research and development domain in Germany. In today's conversation, Promit takes his vast research and commercial experience and explains the differences in expectations of the commercial world versus the scientific research world. Also, how you can be as indispensable as possible in your data science role. So today, if you're a data scientist from the research world, be prepared for a little bit of a reality check. And for data professionals generally, there's plenty of practical tips to supercharge your 2024 job prospects. So now, over to the pod. So Promit, what are the key differences between academic and the professional worlds in data science?
Thanks a lot for that question, Joseph. I'm very happy to answer this because there's a place to my personal situation. I have an academic background. I did my PhD and then tried to transition into data science. Not only are the differences relevant, some of the struggles are also very relevant and feel very personal. I think the main difference is in terms of what the aim of the game is. In academic research in general, you're trying to contribute to knowledge. You're trying to create a knowledge base, and the added value is perceived in terms of the quality of knowledge. So you'd measure success in terms of, I don't know, publications, patents, maybe conferences. So the whole academic mindset is very much structured around intellectual property. The success factors for a successful PhD or a successful postdoc position or postdoc tenure would be very much in terms of these metrics: how many publications, and once you've got past the number, then the next question would be where have you published, and questions like these. For me, it was very difficult to break out of that mindset because all these metrics are irrelevant in industry. A company exists at the end of the day to add value and then, of course, have impact in terms of revenue, right? With a revenue-driven mindset, the KPIs then become very different, even for similar fields of work. And that applies more than ever to data science and AI because they are everywhere, both in academia and in industry. But you would have to repackage this to have maximum impact. So what becomes important in the industry then is, you know, your idea to product timelines, how quickly are you having impact, your code quality, your scalability, your infrastructure, things that are not relevant in academia. And I think this is the primary difference between data science and AI in research vis-a-vis in industry.
Great. That's a high level. And I'm sure you could go low level. I'm just thinking there are so many differences that we encounter, but you've highlighted research and particularly academic publications versus that revenue focused, commercially minded mindset. And that's what data scientists should be taking from this whole conversation. I would hope that there are differences. You need to be aware of them because you're going to get a shock when you join the commercial world. I wonder then, coming from a science background like you do, how does science and data science worlds merge? And how can we kind of like make them merge or bridge the gap between those two differing worlds?
That's an excellent question. I think the answer would depend on the specific discipline within the space of science as to what the overlap with data science would be, of course, because some fields in science, for example, computational sciences, material sciences, might have a more obvious overlap with data science and AI than something maybe a little bit more experimental and abstract. But I think statistics and AI can basically complement pretty much any scientific measurement. There's, you know, whole design of experiments, statistics that experimentalists benefit from. In fact, most of the statistics that was developed with R, for example, was meant for experimentalists, you know, initially, and they're still used by experimentalists. So I think there's a big overlap from that point of view. But in my case, it was more organic because I am a computational scientist by training, and basically rational design and computational modeling already builds upon the ideas of statistics, data analysis, data visualization, and AI. And so bringing in value from AI and statistics into my work was completely organic and only seemed logical. The other way around is also super important and interesting, especially in these changing times, because I think even within data science and AI, domain expertise has now become more important than ever. The kind of data that you might have and the specific domain knowledge that you can bring with your data science and AI skills. So I think data science and AI also stand to benefit a lot from expertise in science and academia. So I think the relationship is symbiotic. And not just one-sided.
I completely agree with you there. I completely, from a hard skills perspective. So maybe it's the soft skills that we'll focus on at some point. But I'd also say, when you mentioned R, we don't have, or the Berlin commercial domain doesn't have much demand for coding in R. And I know it lends itself well to the basics of Python, but there are differences there, and you know that could be also a rude awakening for data scientists.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, I never coded in R, but I know a lot of people who do, transitioning to a more widely used programming language could indeed be quite a surprise when people enter the workforce straight out of academia.
Okay. Well, let's look at that. Entering the workforce straight out of academia, it's probably way different now than it was 5 to 10 years ago. Data science is normalized in the commercial world now, whereas before it was held on a much higher pedestal. So I wonder how the demand for data scientists and their kind of academic or skill backgrounds has changed. What have you seen?
I've seen a lot, and it's been very interesting to see this whole space evolve. I think more than being held on a pedestal, it was considered very unique. So I'd get a lot more expressions of surprise when I would say, oh, I'm a data scientist, or I'm working in AI. And you don't even have to go 10 years in the past, even a couple of years, like 4 years, 5 years, when I started, which was in 2019, just 4 years ago, it was already very, very different.
I think people glaze over much less than they did 5 to 10 years ago. And they're like, well, scientist data.
Whereas today, data science is not just normalized, which is the word you use, but also trivialized. And so by itself, it doesn't have that kind of value. You have to add much more to it. In fact, a lot of people are even unsure of what the term means, because it's used in a variety of contexts and used quite loosely. But only the other day, somebody asked me, anybody can be a data scientist. And my response was, in that case, tell me, what is a data scientist? Let's start from there, right? It comes in various flavors. And so I think now the expectations have increased a lot more in general, simply because of the rampant use of data science and AI in different fields, but also the AI revolution, the use of generative AI. This has also made the requirements much higher, which is good in a way, in that people have higher requirements, higher bars to meet, but it also puts a lot more pressure on them to repackage their skills in a way that makes them seem unique and as if they could add value from day one. This is something that I have seen evolve over time, and it's extremely striking.
And undoubtedly, those skills have to be demonstrable from day dot, but I wonder from a academic perspective, do you think the demands have changed? Do you think the requirements have changed?
Well, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, having the skills was always important, but being able to demonstrate the skills is something that has become much more important in the past. And this is not something that academicians are taught, intrinsically. The whole aspect of advertising, demonstrating this concept of a portfolio or even communication skills, soft skills in general, these are not things that academicians, at least from my time, were trained extensively in. So I think from that point of view, the requirements have changed. Anybody coming out of academia or out of a research background in general wanting to transition would need to be able to demonstrate domain knowledge, but have that tailored to make impact relevant to the company that they're trying to land a role with. And this is something that has changed significantly. Yeah.
Tailored domain knowledge. I, as a recruiter and recruiting across myriad types of businesses for data scientists specifically, we might have seen demands or requirements for master's or even PhD level certifications in data science and stats and related 2 to 3 years ago. Now we don't always see those requirements for PhDs and master's qualifications. We see those domain-specific experiences and skills maybe on shorter courses. Have you seen something similar?
Absolutely, absolutely. The degree itself doesn't matter that much anymore. It's what you can bring with it.
Yes.
The degree is more a consequence. And if you can have that knowledge and that value and that level of expertise without a degree, companies are more than happy. Sometimes even happier, I would say, because there are positions and compensation requirements that educational degrees have to sort of demand. And often not having a degree might make it easier, to transition and start a role right away. The hindrance and the friction might indeed be less. So I completely agree with you there that it's more the skills and the domain knowledge that you can bring. However, with certain domains and certain fields of knowledge, having a degree does indeed make it easier to have that demonstrable knowledge. And being able to have that knowledge and not have a degree, not be part of a program, would be the exception rather than the norm. And this is probably why in certain types of companies, in certain types of data science roles, it's quite the standard to have PhDs or masters or people with degrees.
I would flag the bioscience field immediately as still withholding those standards, which is great to see if bio and medical science has an impact on us. You want to know that these people come from a skilled background.
Absolutely. I might say,
you referenced AI, and we would be remiss to have a data conversation and not mention AI. With that, what impact is AI research having on data scientists joining the job market, AI research specifically?
I think AI research has changed the scope of data science significantly in the past year, if not the past couple of years. I think the data science workflow itself has changed a lot because of the AI research that has been happening. I mean, the research in AI itself, not AI-driven research, but the advancements in AI have changed the data science workflow, the data science metrics, and the data science validation process in general. Now it's pretty standard to integrate generative AI capabilities within a standard data science workflow. The models, the metrics used are much, much more advanced and state of the art. And this is a positive shift that AI research has really brought into the mainstream market, which usually doesn't happen. This is a pretty interesting point because the research behind the generative AI boom actually happened in 2018 through 2019, not in 2022. It's just that it kind of made its way to the mainstream audience in 2022 and especially even more so than in 2023. And that's when generative AI became part of the workflow and everybody started talking about it all of a sudden. And suddenly you had company accounts, you know, with ChatGPT and this and that. And the whole thing then became, you know, a new way of working. It was very striking to see how a research idea can take a completely different form when it's actually commercialized and rolled out, you know, in industry.
Yeah, 2022 and 2023 have moved at an unprecedented pace, way too fast. And I wonder if that is challenging for data scientists, maybe who want to transition into a field that they're interested in.
Mm-hmm.
So again, I question you as a data leader, these people that want to transition, these data scientists that want to transition into a new area involving AI research, how should they or how could they be keeping up with AI research in this constantly evolving landscape?
So I've seen two approaches work. I'll start with the one that worked for me, and that was to niche down. The more you get into your domain of expertise, and sometimes, as was the case for me, this didn't work out with the first job or even the second job, but as I transitioned, I tried to move closer and closer to my area of expertise so that I could differentiate myself from the competition and also get that job satisfaction that made me feel that I'm able to contribute in an area that I'm trained in and not just something that you know, anybody could do. In hindsight and out of pure coincidence, this worked out fine because the timelines coincided with the generative AI boom, and I slowly managed to move, you know, into a more specialized domain-specific data science environment exactly when this happened. So I kind of escaped the negative consequences of it because I, you know, niched down exactly at the right time, and the generative AI threat in that sense was not so extreme for me. But to answer your question, I think playing to your strengths and, you know, being domain specific, looking for ways to add value within your domain applied to data science and AI, of course, would be one way to really, really stand out and really leverage that research background. This also allows researchers, specialists to move way ahead of the market because it's no longer a generalist data scientist role. Many a recruiter has asked me, they said, and I quote, "Anybody can do this, so why should we hire you with all your degrees and your higher salary expectations?" Which is a very valid question to ask. And the only answer that I can think of is that, yes, it's probably not the right job for me then. And so that would be what I would say would be what worked for me to sort of move into something that is domain specific and plays into the training, the, you know, the knowledge. Mm-hmm. The second thing that comes to my mind in terms of, you know, approaches that people could take is what I'm now seeing among my teammates, among people reporting to me and people that we've hired, people that I've interviewed. Staying on top of the technology trends. So if large language models are the next big thing, make yourself completely informed, be in the game, and then go and pitch to a company, making it clear how you can leverage these technology trends for the benefit of the company. Employees who manage to do this are usually extremely esteemed. And I see them sail through the interview process because not only have they stayed up to date with the trends, they figured out how they can use the trends to actually come in and add impact and value from day one. And companies, you know, are usually very impressed by that because they know that they can then just hire the employee and then stay up to date or even stay ahead of the competition. Simply by virtue of having employees who are, you know, on top of the tech trends. So these are the things that come to my mind. So first would be play to the domain strength, and second is ride the wave, stay on top of the trend.
Thank you for that. I took notes. That's information that I could share with data scientists as well, particularly niche down, get domain specific, lean into your passion area, and then stay on trend. And staying on trend, I think of, you mentioned LLMs or large language models. I've also now seen the emergence of LMMs. And no doubt that's an area that data scientists with interest in this area need to stay ahead of. Large multimodal models, which I know little about. Something that we mentioned at the beginning, or you mentioned at the beginning, is mindset. And when working or when recruiting for data scientists, if these data scientists have recently come from an academic background, master's or PhD level, heavily research focused, what kind of mindset would you recommend that they adopt when joining the commercial world?
I think zoning into the business needs of the company as well as the business needs of customers of the company would already give an idea as to why the company exists, and more importantly, why the company is considering hiring said person. And if the person gets hired, then it's even more important to ask why. I think this question is something that doesn't come very naturally to academics, or at least I can speak for myself. Didn't come very naturally to me because you apply for grants, scholarships, fundings, where what you're offering is knowledge, value, and you're trying to sell the greatness of the endeavor, almost as though you're doing something noble. I've found that not to really work out in industry. Nobody really wants to hear about how great your idea is. Much more interesting would be how you can make yourself useful to actually accelerate the company's costs. And this is the shift in mindset that I had to undergo. I found, online MBA programs to often be very helpful, or even project management programs. I did an online MBA program that I found immensely beneficial. But sometimes just listening, asking questions, taking it slow but being observant is already enough to inculcate the right pattern of thought.
Great. Have a mindset of recognizing business needs and customer needs, or at least tune into that, or zone in, to use your words.
Yeah.
I also wanted to ask about cadence and the speed at which we might work. I don't know if you recognize it as being quite different from the academic world, but you mentioned project management and you mentioned that whole consultative approach around asking questions. So that kind of speaks to it. I wonder if you see a stark or even significant difference in the cadence at which data scientists in the academic world work and data scientists in the commercial world work.
Absolutely. I remember my first day, in an industry job, I walked in and I saw this poster on the wall that said, done is better than perfect. And I took one look at it and my first thought was, what? because I had come straight out of the university where, we were told that perfection is a limitless ladder. So, you'd polish manuscripts, polish articles, and, overdo everything to a fault almost, just in pursuit of, perfection. Today, I would describe
accurate, right? A scientist typically works with accuracy, and that's difficult when you're...
Or at least that's how I thought of it back then. Today, I would describe it as just buying time. But back in the day, I thought, this little bit extra time and this little bit extra attention is going to increase the value by so much. And I think that's the main difference, right? The speed expected, the pace expected simply doesn't allow for that level of over analysis, if I might be able to call it that. Whereas having a big picture and making sure that you know you're sticking to the essentials within timelines, within the framework. I think this would be of more relevance. In a corporate environment,
consider the value that you're adding, okay, and focus on done, not perfect, or as we in our work like to work to, and that is progress over perfection. Citing 2023, it was quite a challenging year for most people, not least data scientists, and especially those that came from a research background but didn't have a lot of commercial experience. And many of the big players, large and small, startups, scale up and corporate level, laid off tech and data team members. I understand that you have been through this yourself, so perhaps you've got some pearls of wisdom you could share, particularly about reacting to this and maybe even kind of rescoping or rebranding yourself to get yourself back in the commercial market as a data scientist.
Absolutely. I don't know about pearls of wisdom, but I can definitely share my experience. Funnily enough, though, my experience didn't happen around the timelines that you mentioned. I was laid off in 2021, wherein actually neither of these circumstances applied. The worst of the COVID wave had passed, and this generative AI boom hadn't arrived yet. So there was actually no plausible reason to be laid off at that time. That was considered a good phase in tech when I was laid off. So if there is any moral from this, it would be that it can happen anytime. So you might as well be prepared for it. But I'm trying to answer your question first about the layoffs that happened in 2023. Yes, indeed, it was a very difficult time. I think at this time I got lucky that before automation made its way into my job, I actually switched into a more sort of domain specific and applied AI / data science role. I think that was lucky. So I managed to escape the worst of it for this reason. Also, my present role has a big strategy focus and a people side of things to it as well, which also helps, in the big picture of escaping, the automation wave that caused the layoffs. For the most part, that you mentioned. In terms of rebranding from that perspective, I would say make it as specific domain unique as possible in terms of applications or portfolios. That way it's easier to stand out of the competition, but also make sure that the entirety of what you're doing cannot be replaced easily. Easily is the key word here, because I think most things can be replaced more than we'd like to admit, but it shouldn't be the first thing that that comes to mind when they see you working there. This person can be replaced in no time. But that's about what motivated the job switch in 2023 was exactly this, because I was seeing the layoffs happen and I decided to quit while I'm winning so to speak, and therefore it worked out, and I was lucky from that point of view. I wasn't, however, that lucky in 2021 when the startup that I was working for suddenly ran out of funding, which is a pretty common scenario here in Berlin. But the communication was such that it was a surprise, and it was my first job after academia, so I still had that mindset. And in hindsight, being laid off was the best thing, because when I started started looking, I realized my market value was much higher than the value that I was receiving in any sense in that role. So that was really a wake-up call and a blessing in disguise, which is not how I saw it when I was given the news, I have to admit. But later, I realized that, you know, this is an opportunity to really, really come back. So I tried to do some rebranding, come at the market from a slightly different perspective, slightly different value proposition. And all of it helped me sort of, you know, step into new shoes with a new role.
Mm. Well, thanks for sharing that. That's really quite insightful. And we have, of course, spoken to data scientists who have been laid off over the last year, and it's not usually something that's seen positively from their perspective. But I agree, there are learnings and there are opportunities in these situations. And if you can just get over the current situation, this too shall pass. Things will get better again. You've mentioned get domain specific. You mentioned this right from the beginning, so it's clearly something that resonates. Expect the unexpected. You never know what's going to happen, so always be prepared. And develop skills that are as indisposable as possible, which is challenging in this world where AI is wanting to replicate and automate all of our human tasks as possible. But sage advice nonetheless. I'm conscious we've hit the limits already, Promit. If people want to talk more about this topic or even consider learning more about you, where can they do this? Where can they find out more about the work that you're doing?
They can find me on LinkedIn. I'm very happy to connect. I'm very happy to chat with people. If they're interested in what Clade, my employer, does, or what I do for Clade, they can also check this out at our homepage, clade.io. If they're interested in my offerings, my services, then they can also check out my personal website, which I will send you the link to, so that you can reference this.
Super. I will put that in the comments. I wonder, are Clade hiring in the data science area at the moment?
I think the hiring decisions and the budget will be announced in the coming months. But I think the company is looking to grow in general. And I know that they're hiring in other fields at the moment, other departments at the moment. Exciting times. And exciting times also for the market. I mean, we talked a lot about what was wrong and what wasn't ideal. I think the market is now bouncing back. And so there's definitely a chance to leverage that for all your viewers, for all people that you work with. I think this is an opportunity to really jump back in and use the trend, to your advantage.
Very much so. And I would agree that sentiment. The market at least seems stronger than it was this time last year. But back to you. Clade website, LinkedIn.
Personal website.
Follow you. Personal website. Great. Promit, thanks so much for today. And we'll see you very soon.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.